It's a substantial cut on the operating budgets of the school boards, Tom, and it will inhibit their ability to even meet class size requirements because the biggest expense that a school board has is labor, which is teachers.
And I believe that in almost in 66 of the state's 67 districts, the school board is the county's largest employer.
Yes, that's right. It's a substantial impact not only on the schools and the students. It's also a substantial impact on the local economies because it's going to cause substantial loss of jobs.
Well, yeah, the State Teachers Union, the Florida Education Association, says those job losses will likely be in the thousands. And, of course, Governor Scott has already proposed cutting at least 6,000 or 7,000 positions in other areas of state government. And, you know, some are saying that it seems like for someone who's committed to creating jobs, he's handing out a lot of pink slips.
Well, yes, I guess in his defense, he would argue those are pink slips in the short run, and that in the longer run, the growth of the economy will be much more than this loss of jobs in the short run, Tom.
Well, this governor has spoken so much about creating jobs, about attracting new jobs, high-tech industries bringing good jobs to the state. But many of those recruiters from those types of companies say that the school system, the good school system and an educated, competent workforce are among the top considerations when they're looking to relocate or open a new business. Is that true in your experience working with these folks?
It's absolutely true in my experience, Tom, and I have a good bit of that kind of experience. They also look at how much research is going on in the public universities. And the governor has proposed not only to reduce spending per student in K through 12, but also to reduce funding for the state university systems and their research.
Well, do you see alternatives to this kind of plan, Hank? The governor's proposing, of course, these major cuts to education, and certainly there are, without a doubt, efficiencies that could be found and money that could be saved within the school districts. But are there alternatives to that that you can see, other ways that maybe the budget cutting, cost cutting could be spread around a little bit more?
Sure, Tom. There's a number of different ways that this could be approached. The budget is roughly $70 billion. Of that budget, approximately $25 billion is the general fund. That's really where the cuts have to come from. So approximately a 10% across the board cut of the general fund would fund the deficit that is otherwise being funded by the cuts to education. So it could be much more broadly distributed. In the alternative, revenues could be raised. Education is already funded in large part, by required local effort, which is property taxes. The state could require higher property taxes to be paid in order to support education.
One of the other major components of the governor's education transition team's plan has been emphasizing what they call school choice. They're looking for more ways to get money directly to parents who may then choose to send their child to a public school or a charter school or private school or even use the money for homeschooling. A lot of people feel that's a really good idea to give parents more options. What do you think, Hank, and how would that impact the public school system?
Well, it would certainly have a substantial effect on the public school system and on the school boards, Tom, because money would be raised by property taxes, and that money would then not be devoted towards K through 12 public education, but rather it could go to alternative methods of providing education. It's very important that if there is more choice and if there's use of vouchers, that those vouchers only be able to be accepted by schools and institutions and individuals that are licensed by the state to provide that education, so that the public can know that the education it's funding is, in fact, effective and efficient and focused on the kinds of things that we would expect it to be.
Well, I wonder how the state would do that. It sounds like somebody would have to be in charge of monitoring all these private entities that are receiving public money.
Well, basic licensing of the providers is the first step, so that only licensed providers, only licensed systems. We don't allow anybody to provide education and expect that they can receive state funding. So we'd want a system of licensure for the providers, and they would have to meet certain standards. And then I think it would be important that we make sure that the money is, in fact, spent for what it is intended to be spent for. So just providing cash grants probably isn't a very good idea. Providing some kind of voucher that could only be used for certain purposes, and then when the institution that is legally licensed to receive it gets it, then the state could pay that institution. And that way, we could be sure that the monies that are being provided for education are, in fact, being spent for education. And then we'd want testing to be sure that those institutions that are licensed are actually providing a quality service and that the students that are being funded through the public fisc are, in fact, being educated.